Thank you for joining us. You are listening to the podcast that highlights the weekly sermons from Cumberland County Community Church in Millville, New Jersey. Each week, you will hear biblically based messages from our senior pastor, Sal Roggio, or other community church pastors. For more information on our church, please visit cccmillville.org or check out the links in the podcast notes. We begin each message with our scripture reading, so here we go.
It's from 1 Peter 1, 3 through 25. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to keep an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you.
Well, this morning we're going to begin a study in the book of 1 Peter. And I pray it'll be a blessing to you. You might be encouraged. Next week we'll be in chapter 2 to read chapter 1 again and chapter 2 and sort of be right along with what we're doing and what we're sharing. And we've been entitled this, What God Expects of Me, the view, what God expects of us as a believer. And as any father, our Heavenly Father has expectations for his children. And it's expectations regardless where you find yourself, where you are in life. He has an expectation for you in living out your life in a manner that glorifies him. 1 Peter was written to people that were mostly in exile, gone to different locations, suffering some persecution, and so he's writing to be an encouragement to them. And as we read this book, we will see his expectations. In fact, an understanding of those expectations will reveal to us three important details concerning our salvation and will help us move in the direction of how God expects us to live. The first thing we're going to look at is what we have received from God. And there are four items we want to look at, things that we have received from the living God. First is a great mercy. We have received a great mercy. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Scripture is very clear. There is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And apart from the grace of God and the mercy of God, we would all be sunk. But it was his great mercy that saved us. That's what caused the Lord Jesus Christ to be willing to go to the cross. A mother once approached Napoleon seeking a pardon for her son. The emperor replied that the young man had committed a certain offense twice and justice demanded death. But I don't ask for justice, the mother explained. I plead for mercy. But your son does not deserve mercy, Napoleon replied. Sir, the woman cried, it would not be mercy if he deserved it. And mercy is all I ask for. Napoleon turned and looked at her and said, well then, I will have mercy. And he spared the woman's son. That's what it is with all of us. We've received mercy. We've received forgiveness of sins. Not something we deserved, but something that was offered to us because of Christ's death on the cross. Mercy. 1 Peter 1:18, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. We didn't get what we deserved. We got what we didn't deserve, and we are grateful for it. Charles Spurgeon said this, a Christian should never forget the three what's of salvation. What from? Believers are redeemed from hell and destruction. What by? The precious blood of Christ. What to? To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that will never fade away. So we have received great mercy, one of the items. Here's the second one, an imperishable inheritance. 1 Peter 1:4, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. One of the great songs written about this is, the world didn't give it to me, and guess what? The world can't take it away. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And that is the promise of Scripture. So we have an imperishable inheritance. And third, we have a secure future. 1 Peter 1:5, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. We have a secure future. Some people say sometimes, I wake up and I'm not sure I'm saved. If you have confessed your sins and declared Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I've asked him for forgiveness of sins, and he saved you. Your eternity is not dependent on you. It's dependent upon him. And he never breaks his word. And we cannot be separated from the love of Christ. That's an important thing. Well, the fourth item we have received from God is an inward assurance. 1 Peter 1:6. In this you receive Though now for a little, rejoice rather, for, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials. No one lives on this earth, whatever their circumstances, without trials. And Christians are not devoid of trials. We all have them. But if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials. So why? So that the tested genuineness of your faith. How do I know I believe? I know I believe because whatever comes my way, I have put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I cling to those promises that God has made for us. There's an old fable that says the gold objected to the heat of the furnace and asked how long it should be expected to endure such heat. The answer was, as soon as the refiner's purpose is accomplished. And when will that be, asked the gold? And the answer was, when the refiner can see his own face in you. You are being shaped to be Christ-like. And God will allow circumstances to come into your life, but you can be assured those are indicators of his love for you, and he will do all that he has promised. 1 Peter 1:8, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy in that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And as you go through the difficulties and hardships of life, the one thing you come to realize is Christ in me, the hope of glory. So we looked at what we have received from God. Now what is required by God? Okay, A, that we prepare our minds for action. 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The idea of sober-minded is living a life under self-control because of your confidence in the Lord. And we can do that. We're told to do that. He goes on to say in 1 Peter 1:14, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. We don't live in fear, and we don't live by the pressures of this world. We live by the commands of Christ. We live by the Holy Spirit leading and guiding and prompting and encouraging and strengthening. And we are told that we are to prepare our minds for action. Not only do we prepare our minds for action, but we live with the future in mind. 1 Peter 1:15, but as he who called you is holy, so also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy, and you shall call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds. Here's what we're to do. Conduct yourselves with fear through the time of your exile. What kind of fear? It's the fear and reverence of God. Regardless what the world says, what the world does, regardless what happens to me, the one thing I don't want to do is turn my way and my back against God. He is my Savior. He is my Lord. He is my rock. And I have put my faith in him. You've put your faith in him. Don't let the pressures of this world drive you away from the truth of the gospel. You belong to him, and God wants you to live accordingly. And also, God requires that we love what he loves. Having purified yourselves, your souls, by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. I'm going to be doing a series on forgiveness after this series. And the one mark of a believer is we know how to forgive. Why do we know how to forgive? Because we have been forgiven. We have experienced the acceptance in the beloved. And we have been forgiven much. So we learn how to forgive and we learn how to love. That's why I love it when I see people. My wife says, you know, you live across the street and it takes you an hour to get home. Why? Because I love seeing the body gather and talk and laugh and share and embrace one another. We love one another because Christ first loved us. And here's how we go through life. You remember the old song? I'm just a poor wayfaring stranger, traveling through this world of woe. There is no sickness, no toil, no danger in the bright land to which I go. I can extend love and grace. I can live in joy, even in the midst of difficulty and suffering, hardship and loss, because I serve the Savior. And he has filled me with joy, and the Holy Spirit gives witness to my spirit that I belong to him, and I can cry, Abba, Father, and I can live above the circumstances of life. 1 Peter 1:23, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God, for all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. So, put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Live the way God wants you to live, as people who have experienced the love of Christ. Patrick Morley said, the height of our love for God will never exceed the depth of our love for one another. So we must learn how to love one another. Well, what's required of God? That we prepare our minds for action, that we live with the future in mind, that we love as he loves, and that we long to know more. 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up unto salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. The Lord is good. You've tasted it. What are we supposed to do? Grow up in the Lord. How do you do that? You get to know what God says. You understand the word of God. Listen, we all have 24 hours a day. So what do you do with your 24 hours? When you get in your car, do you listen to something that rocks your head off? Or maybe turn something that will point you towards the Lord? When you're on your phone, are you just looking at stuff? Or do you ever think, I want to point my way in the direction of the Lord? I always tell people, if you get in my car and you find rock on it, you knew somebody drove it before I was in it again. Because you're going to find me listening to things that are going to edify, grow, and build. It doesn't mean we can never watch a movie together or do something like that. It means I have a certain amount of life in life, and if I'm going to grow, if I'm going to mature, if I'm going to get the Word of God written in me, like a newborn infant, I want the pure milk. I want to grow up in salvation because I have tasted that the Lord is good. Have you tasted that the Lord is good? Grow up in salvation. And incidentally, you'll be surprised how it'll walk you through the difficult day. Well, we've looked at what we've received from God and what is required by God. What is the reasoning of God? What is the reasoning of God in demanding these things of us? Here's the first one, that you might praise him through your confidence. That you might praise him all the time for what he has done on your behalf and what he has promised you in eternity. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellency of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Excuse me. We praise him. We praise him all the time. And here's the truth. In verse 10, once you were not a people, once you didn't know salvation, once you didn't know Christ, once you were headed for a destiny of damnation, once you lived in the misery of your own self, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. It ought to cause a response in our hearts and our lives. And then, not only that you should praise him through your confidence, but that you might present him through your conduct. 1 Peter 2:11, beloved, I urge you as strangers and aliens, as exiles, to abstain from the passions of your flesh, which wage war against your soul. Notice this next line. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. It should be that our reputation should say something about us. Our honesty in dealing with people, our kindness in treating with people, our patience with people. There should be some indicator that our lives are surrendered to God and have put our trust in God, and we have embraced the faith, and others can see it in us. You know what that's called? That's called being a witness. Sometimes we say, well, how can I witness about Christ? How can I? You listen, the greatest way you can witness about Christ is live Christ and let people see the love of God in you. Be kind and gracious to people. Let them see that when calamity comes your way, your hope is in the Lord, and you don't fall apart and fall to pieces, because your destiny is sure and your Savior is ever present. God expects nothing less of those who he's redeemed. Let us make a commitment this year to live in that way, under the expectation of God and under the glory of God. And if you and I do, we will experience the fullness of the Lord. And we cannot ask for more than that. And I just got an amen to that. Let's have a word of prayer together. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your tender mercies. Thank you for forgiveness of sins. Thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you that you give us purpose on life. May you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to our weekly sermon. Please like, share, and subscribe so you will be notified when the next sermon is uploaded. If you have any questions, would like a copy of the sermon notes, or would like to speak with someone directly, you can find our information on our website at cccmillville.org or in the podcast notes. Until next time, God bless.